Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week.
This is Josh Haston in for Elliot Jager. I'm with Rabbi Beryl Wein. Rabbi Wein, what parsha are we going to talk about this week?
This week is the parsha of Ki Tisa, which is really one of the most dramatic parshiot in the Torah, because it's the story of the golden calf and the reaction to the golden calf. It sets up Moshe and Aaron as two different types of leaders. Aaron feels that the people have made a mistake and that he can somehow compromise it. He can stall for time. He can hope that they'll come to their senses. Moshe has no illusions. Moshe comes down and he grinds down the golden calf, makes the people drink from it, declares a civil war. Moshe is very, very hard. But the point with Moshe, I think the great point with Moshe, is that God, so to speak, makes Moshe an offer. And he says, this people, they really don't deserve you. In effect, that's what God says. And because they don't deserve you, we'll get rid of the people and we'll start all over with you. And Moshe is wise enough and courageous enough to see that that offer is really not acceptable. Moshe says, If you're going to destroy the people, destroy me too. I'm not here. We're not going to start all over again. Now, we all have a feeling in our lifetime that if we were the only people in the world or the only family in the world, we would rebuild it on a wonderful basis. I'm sure that every clergyman feels that if he could only get rid of his congregation, then he could start all over and it would be perfect. But the world is not like that. We see that, I think that's the reason for the entire story of Noah and the flood. It's because here's a man that has a chance to start the world all over again and doesn't end up much better than the world that was destroyed just a few short years before. And we see that throughout human history, right? The war to end all wars, right? The war to end all wars didn't end all wars. It just introduced new technology into how to make war. We're always striving for that perfect thing and thinking that the destruction will do it. And it doesn't do it. And Moshe, therefore, is wise enough to realize that. Moshe says, we're going to deal with this people, even if we have to deal harshly with them. But the solution is not to destroy them and create a new people, because the new people will become just like the old people, if we're not able to uproot the evil and the wrongs of the society that destroy the old people. And that simple lesson is one that all of us should take to heart, that the problem is not so much my neighbor or my congregants or the people. The problem is the structure of how to get across good ideas and good behavior. If that'll happen, so then everybody can be improved. If that doesn't happen, then no matter how many times you start over, you're going to run into the exact same problems, because human nature doesn't change. Many things have changed in the world from the Garden of Eden, but not human nature. And because of that, therefore, we have to deal with human nature. And by dealing with it, then there's a chance that we can improve it, we can change it, and we can bring it to greatness. So Moshe obtains God's forgiveness, so to speak, that the Jewish people are not destroyed, the people of Israel are not destroyed. But there's a price that's paid for the eagle. There's no question there's a price that's paid for the golden calf, and the price is almost an eternal price through all the generations of history. But the people survived. Moshe realizes that. And Moshe returns to the task of creating out of this people a mamleches kohanim and a goy kadosh, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Moshe is determined to do that. And that really is Moshe's greatness. Moshe's greatness is in the tenacity that he brings to the job, and the fact that he's not doesn't find room for despair simply because it doesn't work the first time, or because a lot of people are naysayers, or because a lot of people are evil people. Moshe is ready to contend with all of that. And therefore, the hero of the story, undoubtedly as the hero of the entire Chumash, all the books of the Chumash, the hero is Moshe. Because Moshe is steadfast in his loyalty to God and his loyalty to Israel, and in the realization of what the true mission is, and that somehow getting rid of the congregation will not make a perfect world. And that concept is an important one that we should think of always. I'm always reminded of the words of the wife of Rabbi Meir, that's quoted in the Talmud. She said, we shouldn't pray for the departure of sinners, we should pray for the departure of sin. If we can get rid of the sin, the sinners will also somehow improve. But if we are only interested in destroying sinners, so sin will find other customers. It always does. And therefore, Moshe's answer is certainly legitimate, and it's a beacon for all of us through all of the generations how to deal with societies, even with societies that we don't agree with, even with societies that we feel are morally wrong. But nevertheless, destruction rarely accomplishes the goal that we thought that it would. Okay, Josh.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Beryl Wine. Parashat Ki Tisa.
You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wine talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.